Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Trash Mix Podcast, episode 3. What are we calling this, Joey?
I don't know what we're talking
about. Okay, so whatever title we give it, you'll know why. But this episode is actually special because it's not just me and Joey blabbering this time. We're going to have a special guest.
We have our first guest of the podcast.
And he's a very familiar face in Trash Mix because he also does the programming, the theatrical programming, and it's none other than Mike Aguirre. Mike Aguirre, say something.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How are you guys?
It's good
to see you guys too.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys too. Yeah, this is our second attempt at doing this episode because we ran into some technical issues last time on my end. So.
We were just like, man, what the fuck?
We were supposed to record last week, and then we scheduled it for 8. And then we tried to get started at like 10.
11.
You know?
It was like 11 and we were like, damn, we didn't do shit.
Yeah, you turn on the laptop and power it on and it's the sound card thing isn't working. It was just like,
oh my God.
All right, whatever. It works.
I mean, at least we got together. We had a little laugh.
Yeah. Well, you learned something about the sound card, too.
Yeah, trial by error, right? Everything's locked behind a fucking paywall nowadays.
And now it's the evening. It's, what, 8 o'clock? It's already my bedtime.
It's 8:30, man.
Fuck you guys for having me.
Armando in L.A. at 8:30 on a school night? What's going on here?
You guys are early birds, right, for the most part?
No, I stay up late.
Do you?
I'll sleep, like, till maybe 10. I'll be up at, till 10, I mean. But 8 o'clock will be, like, I'm kind of all right for bed.
Okay.
My body's still used to, like, I go to, I'm like, this is movie number one at the New Beverly, you know? So, like, my body's still awake. And even if I'm at home, I'm watching.
We all have different lives and everything. But overall, I mean, we still all made it here. So we're here tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're here to not only talk about a movie, we're also going to promote the movie because we're going to screen it, me and Mike, at the Frida Cinema on what day is it?
October 27th, Sunday.
On a Sunday at 7:30. So you guys better be there. And what is the movie, Mike?
We are playing Hellstrap from 1990, correct?
1989.
Was it 89?
Yeah, 89. And then I think they released it in 90 as well. So either way, it's still, you know, same decade, late 80s, early 90s.
It's fun as hell, though. I hope people show up and actually watch it.
Go ahead.
This movie's just slasher-wise, it's entertaining as hell. It's not, I don't know, sometimes you watch some of these slasher stuff, like especially the late 80s, and it just kind of gets redundant at a certain point. And like
slashers are hit or miss.
Yeah, for sure.
But this one was just...
This is like in your face, like, hey... We're here to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
we're on a mission, but then the mission turns into something really bad.
Yeah.
I think a good slasher, this does what a good slasher does, is it blends a lot of shit. Yeah. So it's not just super, I mean, while it is kind of formulaic, it kind of strays the path a little bit and fucking, it's not just so fucking, someone gets killed, you see some titties, and then fucking the next person gets killed.
Yeah, and then the intention for this movie, too, was it was just supposed to be like an adventure film, but then they were like, well, we got to obviously throw in like, kills in here and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, it became a adventure slasher film. So these guys are not in the forest. They're in a forest setting, but
so let's take it to the beginning. So obviously this is 1989. We're talking about Trampa Infernal, aka Hellstrap, directed by Pedro Galindo III, who people would know who directed Vacaciones de Terror 2. And Siete en la Mira.
And Gatilleros del Rio Bravo. I mean, the list goes on. I could go on, but I'm not gonna.
Sure we'll do an episode on the Galindo family at some point. But
Pedro Galindo III, he's the son of Pedro Galindo Jr. and his father is the great Pedro Galindo, who he did a bunch of music back in the day. He was very famous, very popular back in the 40s and 50s. So, yeah, grandfather is Pedro Galindo, who composed music in the 30s and 40s, 50s. Then he went on to filmmaking, brought in his children, his nephews, nieces, and so forth. So, yeah. And this is the one that they pretty much started filming in Mexico because they were filming in Brownsville, Texas for a while.
Which is where a lot of the movies were shot at the time, right? Yeah.
So the Galindo family came back to Mexico during the 80s, and this is one of the first ones that they did over there. And what part of Mexico was it, Joy?
I think it said it was in Michoacán, right?
Michoacán, and to be specific, it's Talapahua, Michoacán, in the Mina de las Estrellas. And over there, they shot a lot of movies over there and like videos and so forth. So they were very familiar with it. They also shot another movie called Pánico en la Montaña, which is like maybe a year after this one, which also stars the leading actor, Pedro Fernández.
Was the Galindo family from Michoacán, or was that just a...
That's just the location. You know, familiar, yeah. Especially since it's like a big forest setting, and then there's like a mine over there, caves and so forth. Yeah.
Because they filmed... Well, in the movie, they said the what was it? The... damn, I can't remember the name of the location that they were calling, like, the forest area. So I looked that up, and that was a real spot in Sinaloa, but I was like, there's no way they filmed this in Sinaloa. Oh, this is, like, in the shade.
I think in part they just, you know, they didn't want to give a real specific location, per se. They wanted, you know.
And the setting is essential to how this movie plays out, with how the movie... I guess how the movie is set up and what they're doing, but it's the movie stars none other than Mexico's favorite child, Pedrito Fernandez, everyone's tias and their cousin's young crush. You know, he was like the fucking the Justin Bieber of the fucking 80s in Mexico.
It was like the entire time during the movie, I was just like, man, your fucking hair looks awesome right now. like
the biggest mullet, curly mullet ever.
Like the Jerry and curl type of shine.
And then he's not even like an ugly guy. Like, he's actually like a good looking guy. So it's like, okay, I see the appeal.
I was just watching it during the entire, like, his hair looks great the entire movie.
And you got the soul, like, glow going on.
Yes. I don't know what number of a movie he made, but this is like a movie that he made with the Galindos, of course. And he's been making movies with the Galindos since he was a kid. This is like late 70s when he first started with the Galindos in Brownsville. And again, he started in Mexico with this one.
So he was a pop singer for years, right?
Yeah.
He was a pop singer. Well, when he was a kid, he was like a ranchera mariachi singer. And then when he got older, obviously, like maybe in his preteens, that's when he started doing like pop songs, so forth. And during that era, he was just mostly doing pop music for some reason, you know.
That's what was popular at the time.
But it was kind of strange when you look back, and then now especially, he's like, he doesn't even sing stuff like that. So one of those awkward stages in his career, I guess.
They all had it, dude.
It's like, it's kind of like with Pepe Aguilar when he used to do rock music. I don't know if people knew that, but Pepe Aguilar, the great mariachi singer, and he was doing rock music before that. But you know.
The family was like, nah, bro, we're not doing that shit. Yeah. Get back to your roots.
Yeah, same with Pedro Fernandez. I think after the pop phase, he's just like, I'm going back to mariachi. Back to my roots. But here in this movie, he's already, like, doing horror. I mean, Vacaciones de Terror was his first horror movie. And then comes this movie. And what did y'all think about this movie?
I thought this movie was fucking sick, honestly.
It's fucking sick,
right? Like I was saying earlier, too, it was just like... like watching this one, like, you know, especially late 80s type of slasher stuff, it's just like you feel it's a little bit redundant. And same old thing that you're watching on the screen again. But like, I don't know, for me, like it, towards that like last act where it went from like this slasher to all of a sudden like this action film, like after, you know, spoiler, after he gets his arm, the Vietnam vet gets his arm cut off and he, you know, he cauterizes it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like it becomes like this shootout. You know, this AR-15 comes out at this point, and it just becomes this like almost like cat and mouse type of chasing game, like almost like Deliverance type of stuff.
Like, I kept thinking The Final Terror,
Ritual, and all that stuff. And it was just like, oh wow, there was like a nice shift in being like, all right, let's keep it kind of like fast paced at this ending part. We've already done like the slow burn type of kills, and
this one just goes straight into it. It's like, boom, here we go.
Yeah.
So the movie starts off with just a, how old are they? They're like teenagers, early 20s, something like that.
Yeah, they're definitely college age.
Yeah, they're like college age. Yeah.
It starts off with Pedro Fernandez and I can't remember the name of the other actor.
I believe the other guy that he's battling with.
Yeah. What was his name?
I think it was. But his name in the movie was Mauricio.
Yeah, Mauricio.
But I forgot the actor.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
It starts with like a T, but he was just like, okay, when that first intro part happened, I was like holy shit, like, because I've never seen this movie before until Armando sent it over to me, and I was like, just in those first few minutes, I was like, oh shit, like this is. Is this like a like kind of like a cop type of thing? Because the guns look real. They don't look like paintball
guns. You're just like wondering what's going on.
And the movie literally starts with that, and they're like playing like cat and mouse in like this house, and I was kind of thrown off by that, and you realize shortly that it's just a fucking paintball match.
Thank you. Ni modo, Mauricio. Otra vez te tocó perder, man.
Sí, ¿verdad?
Sí.
¡Ya, Nacho!
¡Suéltame!
¡Tranquilo!
¡Suéltame!
¡Tranquilo,
güey! ¡Pero ya!
Este no sabe perder.
Tienes razón. Este güey es un ardido. ¿Saben qué? Cállense con la lana. ¡Órale!
¡Ya, dásela!
That's the thing about the movie is, like, him, Pedro Hernandez's character, and then this guy, they're just, like, competing. They always want to, like, you know, win.
One-up each other.
Yeah, one-up each other.
They're, like, so constant, like, battling and shit.
They're, like, not even sure if they're friends or what, because they're just, like, always on each other. But then they're, like, kind of hanging out at the same time.
I think they have that relationship. Like, they're homies, but it's, like, I'm better than you, fool.
Yeah.
Like,
don't get twisted. Yeah, I think you can say that, yeah. So they're, like, competing, and then, like, once, you know... Who wins that match? Was it Pedro, right?
Yeah, Pedro wins.
And then the other guy's like all pissed. And then he's like, well, I have another challenge for you. They're like at a restaurant or something. He's like, there's a bear in the forest that's killing people. Like, let's hunt this bear. Whoever kills the bear wins.
Nacho, ¿no quieres ver esto? Ay, Mauricio, Mauricio. ¿Qué te traes ahora?
En vista de que te gusta mucho competir, se me ha ocurrido algo más interesante. Algo que te puede llamar la atención.
Masacre. Tres cazadores muertos y dos desaparecidos en filo de caballo. Aseguran que se trata de un oso. ¿Y esto qué?
Ay, Mauricio, ya. Deja de estar perdiendo el tiempo. Estos jamás te van a aceptar la apuesta, hombre.
¿De qué se trata?
Mira, Alejandra, se trata de esto. El que llegue a matar al oso será el ganador.
No le sigas el juego, Nacho. Todo esto es una estupidez.
Oye, oye, oye. ¿De cuándo acá tú decides por él, Alejandra? ¿Que no tiene pantalones?
¿Qué te propones? ¿Cuál es la apuesta?
En esta ocasión no va a haber apuesta. Se trata de demostrarle al pueblo quién es el mejor. Además, me debes la revancha.
Éntrale, Nacho. Tú bien sabes que no nos van a ganar. Escucha bien lo que te voy a decir, Mauricio. Te voy a dar la revancha. Pero esta será la última vez que apueste contigo. ¿Me entendiste?
And, yep, they go to the forest and looking for that bear. And it's not a bear. It's a Vietnam War veteran tormented by the war by himself. Has a bunch of weapons. And then he has a Freddy claw, I guess you could say, but Joey's like, it's not a Freddy claw.
A lot of people were comparing this movie to Nightmare on Elm Street, there's literally one shot in this movie almost resembles the opening scene of Nightmare on Elm Street where he's in his little boiler room making his glove. And after that, there's nothing about this that is Nightmare on Elm Street. It's very obviously that this guy's rocking a glove made out of knives, so I'll give you that. But they're supposed to resemble a bear claw.
Yeah, like, there's even like fur on the thumb.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say, like, I remember there's like a bear fur up on the arm part.
So in other words, he probably killed the bear, the real bear, and so now he's the bear that they're hunting for.
Yeah, because they never show anyone like before them. No one is dying in this movie. It's just like, hey, there's this fucking bear out in the fucking woods that's killing fools. But there's like that's it. Like there's no setup. You don't see anyone die in the woods from this fool before they even get to the woods. So. Mm-hmm. Who knows if he actually killed a bear or if he was just fucking... that was his way of hiding himself in the fucking mountains of Michoacán.
Yeah. And from there, so, you know, they're right there trying to look for the bear, but, you know, they're not really finding anything. And then at nighttime, I think one of the girls gets killed, right?
Yeah,
so, of course, you know, they kill a girl in the night. And then after that, the movie mostly takes place during the day. So the next morning, they're like, oh, we're going to get out of here. They're like, ah, let's try to get out of here.
It's like they don't even fucking care. Like, she dies, and then they're just like, yeah, man, so fuck, we got to get out of here. Funny part is like, it's like, they weren't, like, tripping
they
or
were
nothing.
Like, they were like, oh, fuck. Like, we got to kind of get out of here, I think.
That's what was making me crack up, is especially, like, Mauricio was like, when one of the females dies, it's like, oh, whatever, she was just kind of like a side piece. Like, I'm not really in, and like, have any investment, like, whatever, let's just carry on.
Yeah, so after that, we meet the killer, and his name's Jesse. So one of the guys does know who he is. It's like, there's this guy named Jesse out here. He's kind of a local legend. And
yeah, they stop at, like, some, like, I don't know if it was, like, a military shop or like just, a like, a, it was, like, an RV, store, like, in the middle of the fucking carretera that and had, that guy, like, guns. I guess
he
and knew fucking
him. He probably even was in the war with him, because he himself is a veteran, too.
Tomando en cuenta lo que piensan hacer.
Bueno, no sé, no le entiendo, no sabemos de qué está usted hablando, nosotros solamente vamos de cacería.
Háganme caso, muchachitos. Ustedes no van a una cacería normal. Por 10,000 pesos adicionales, les puedo platicar la historia de ese lugar.
Bueno, don Jeremías, gracias por todo. Acompáñame, quiero hablar contigo.
Oye, muchachos, Jeremías, no se vayan, hombre, Jeremías, muchachos. Mire, medio millón de pesos se los doy.
¿Qué pasa este
les
chico?
Conviene, muchachos.
Me gusta mucho. Oiga, don Jeremías, oiga, ¿y cuánto me da este casco?
Váyase a la camioneta. ¿No ves dónde vive el viejo este? ¡Está loco!
¿Pero qué es eso de que dijo que nos tenemos que preparar para la guerra? Yo no entiendo.
Esas son estupideces, no le hagan caso. Pero en fin, si ustedes quieren quedarse a platicar, allá ustedes. Se está haciendo tarde y yo me voy adelantando.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, they just show up and this guy's like, there's an expat that's living out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, whatever. Typical slasher shit.
Yeah, yeah. But it is, yeah, it's this guy named Jesse. He's just like, you know, we don't really know much about him other than he's a war veteran. He's crazy. He wears his mask. He has the gloves. He's killing them.
I love how simple the mask is, by the way. Yeah. Like,
it's scary as shit.
There was one shot in particular that I think is the best shot of the movie. They had just got to the woods, and the camera's following them up this trail. And then I don't know if they turned left or right or whatever, but the camera continues going straight. Yeah, what the fuck is this shit doing? And then it stops, and then all of a sudden his face just appears in the fucking bushes, and I was like, that shit is sick.
It's almost like the lifelessness that you see on is the facial expression of the mask is almost like it's comparable to me, I guess, for like, you know, like something like the Michael Myers mask. I don't know. I thought this one was way scarier than
it's funny because that mask, it was actually given to the actor. His name, so the actor's name is Alberto Mejia Barron. He was called Alfin. That was his artistic name. Because he was like a stage actor. He was like a puppeteer, and he made masks. But this mask that he has, he didn't make it. It was made by this artist named Guadalupe Garcia Vasquez. And she just gave it to him like maybe like 2 years before he made this movie. Just as like as a gift. Because there's even like a picture of him wearing it like at some beach party or something like that. Yeah,
beach party.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I don't know what it is exactly. I'll have to show you guys. But yeah, he's like wearing the mask. And this is like way before he filmed the movie. So this was like just a mask that he grabbed and just put on for the movie.
It had the hair on it and everything?
It had the hair on it, yeah. Wow. So
like the hair, yes. the facial expression with that hair is just like, for me, like the creepier part. Yeah.
It's so like, simple and plain, but like
it's like
super
trying to humanize that creepiness too. It's like, this is still a person kind of.
I kind of, when I saw it the first time, I kind of, it, to me, it resembled like a mix of Max Headroom and what was the mask from the movie Curtains? You seen that one? Like the Canadian like the slasher, like the grandma looking one with the crazy hair, but with the plain like square jaw face of Max Headroom. I don't know if you guys know.
No, I know
Max Headroom.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
That Canadian slasher, right? Curtains.
Curtains is Canadian. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. That one was good.
So yeah, mask killer. You know, it's not a bear. It's not a Freddy Krueger glove. There's an AR-15. I mean, what more can you get? You know, it's really awesome. This movie's awesome. Such a great cast, too. We have Pedro Fernandez, Edith Gonzalez, and then comedic actor Charlie Valentino's in it.
Yeah.
And, I mean.
That part with Charlie at the end got me.
Oh.
Was just, Charlie!
Yeah, you kind of feel bad because Charlie was like a lovable goof in that movie.
Yeah, like I felt like... At sometimes, like, you're just kind of wondering, like, with, like, the, I guess, comedic relief aspect of the movie. It's just, like, is he necessary? But then you start to kind of, like, grow with him.
Yeah, you just like him. Yeah, he's just like the homie, you know, you just have around.
Yeah.
So, you know, when his time comes, you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And he dies, spoiler, he dies. Booby trap from the Vietnam event with, what, a grenade in the truck, right?
Yeah, the Toyota. He blew that shit up.
Yeah, there's explosions in this movie. So not only do you get, like, slasher killings, you get, like, explosions, gun shootings. This is, like, a great movie. And it's all set in the daytime, too. It's, like, it's not in the nighttime like most slasher. This is, like, in the daytime, like, the morning after the first kill. So they're all just running around scared, like, wow, what are we going to do? Are we going to fight back or what?
Yeah, it kind of kicks off with the, so like you said, like the first girl dies at night, and then the next day, then in the morning, they're at like their little campfire or whatever, and this fool Jesse somewhere in the trees fucking shoots these fools with a bow and arrow as like a surprise, motherfucker, I'm here, and that's when they kind of start scattering. All right, we got to get the fuck out of here, and they start like kind of planning their game plan on how they're going to fucking get out of the woods. I know Mauricio was convinced that they can kill him, so he was kind of the one that was driving the whole the whole lynching of this foot Jesse.
There it is, the competitive streak. He's like, hey, maybe I can win this part. Yeah. I could win hunting down Jesse.
Nobody's been able to do it, but I can. I got no tools, I got nothing with me, but I can do it.
So this is a movie that got restored by Vinegar Syndrome. Beautiful restoration compared to like the old DVD that came out back in the day. So it's very colorful. You can see the reds, the bloody reds. The forest setting is more clear. And it's going to be awesome to see on the big screen. So again, me and Mike are going to present it at the Frida Cinema October 27th, 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets. It's going to be awesome seeing this on the big screen. Or if you can't make it, buy the Blu-ray from Vinegar. Again, it's out there. So yeah.
It came out during last month's
It came out last wave, month.
Or 2 months ago or something?
That was like when everybody was waiting for it. I mean, it was obvious they were going to release it, and then bam, finally it's out. And me and Mike got lucky enough to be able to screen it. We're probably going to be the first ones to screen it, I think, right?
I think so at this point. Yeah,
it might be. I mean, I don't want to say we are, but I think we are, yeah.
Yeah, and it's appropriate too for the month of October at the Frida, especially with all the horror stuff. I just was like...
A bunch of horror stuff, yeah.
It's the great lineup at the Frida this month, and it was just like one of those things, like, because we've been trying to do stuff in October there, consecutively, and we did a Cemetery of Terror... And I'm not sure what else we did at that point in October, but like it just seemed appropriate for the month to go with the theme.
Yeah, and so this is going to be a different one for sure. Whereas other titles are more familiar to people, this one's going to be more than likely new to people.
So. I think this is going to rip with a fucking crowd, though. Yeah. Like, it's nonstop action. Mm-hmm. It only runs 76 minutes, which anyone who knows me that's like the best runtime.
But even then, it's so short, but then there's so much going on in it. You're just like so excited, too. Like, you can't keep your eyes off it. You're just like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
It's not like, what's going to happen next? Like, is it almost over? This is like, what's going to happen next? Let's go.
And there's a lot of references to movies that people already know. I mean, like we said, people think it's like Nightmare on Elm Street, which is not. People also said that it's kind of like First Blood, which I can see that's a little more accurate as far as a comparison. Because this shit is fucking wild, man. Like, it's straight up slasher into a fucking straight up action movie. There's even like remnants of Predator, like the whole scene where they're like, what was it? The fucking, like the big tree or the log that fell from the tree and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
a lot of booby traps in this movie. So.
That's what I noticed with them. It was just like, that was one thing.
Aside from him slashing with his fingers, it's like he had traps set everywhere. Like, he was just ready. He knew he was going to have visitors coming again. Because it might have it obviously happened before. You know, people thought a bear was killing people out there, but nah, it's him.
It's kind of like, but that too, with that aspect of the film, of it not really like divulging too much about him, the killer. It was just kind of like you're left wondering like how he ended up in this place where he is basically killing and everything like that. And it's just like when they don't, what I feel like with a lot of horror movies, they just, you know, especially nowadays, they just kind of like, here's the trauma that happened that led to this person doing this. And this is just kind of like, no, he's just a crazy motherfucker out in the fucking woods of Mexico.
It's funny because it also reminisces to me of a movie that Ruben Galindo made, Pedro's uncle. back in like 86 or 87, I believe. It's called Yaco Cazador de Malitos. That one takes place in a forest too. And there's also like, yeah, like people just living in the forest and they're like Vietnam veterans and so forth, booby traps. So I was just like, oh, this is like Yaco all over again, only this is a horror movie. You know, we got the crazies living in the forest, you know, from the war. And then here we go again.
Yeah.
This
time, so Galinda 3 was like, yeah, let's remake that shit. Yeah. But put some blood and some titties.
It's some inspiration, yeah, because Yaco's more of an action, you know, thriller kind of movie. Then this one is a slasher. But again, same thing. It's like these crazies are in the forest. It's like, what were these Galindos like fascinated by? I want to say, yeah, maybe like a First Blood inspiration type of thing. And then, Deliverance kind of thing too.
And then too, with them going out and like obviously they're being competitive with wanting to kill this bear and everything. Do you think also too, like there was no reason for them to bring the women out? Also, it was just kind of like just watch me be machismo with my buddy a little bit.
Well, if you remember, Pedro told his girl and then we're like, "You're not coming," and she's like, "No, I'm coming with you." And so I don't think, well, she for sure didn't want to go. I think the other two girls that came with Mauricio were just kind of like, yeah, we'll go.
Kind of like hang out by the water, by the lake.
Yeah.
And there is like a funny scene in the movie where they're just like showing them playing like, what is it, like a tennis or something?
Something
or a racquetball.
Like
and then they're just showing them in their bikinis.
And the best part, I think Edith Gonzalez is the one that probably has the worst kill out of all of them in here.
Edith?
Is it her? It was her, right?
No, it was the other girl. No, it was another blonde girl. I forget her name, but yeah, it was one of the girls that was playing the tennis or racquetball.
Yeah,
like, Edith doesn't get killed, but yeah, I know you're talking about that.
Yeah, when she, yeah, that scene was fucking epic. It slice her throat and the scene, fucking blood is flying everywhere. Yeah, that shit was tight.
Yeah, so what did you guys think overall? You liked it, Mike?
I loved this movie. It was fun, and the moral that I got from this was like, don't overindulge in the competitiveness of male machismo. Because basically, there's never a winner with it. You're always just kind of one-upping each other, and don't challenge your male friends.
Yeah, don't challenge your friends.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should buy a ticket to go see this movie. Yeah. Go to thefreedocinema.org.
I challenge you to go watch this movie October 27th. Bring your friend. Yeah, compete
with your friend. Buy a ticket.
There might even be a guy with a bear claw in there. Yeah. Killing folks. You never know.
7:30 at the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana, California.
October, what, 27th?
October 27th.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Joey, what did you think of the movie?
I fucking loved it, honestly. I thought it was... definitely one of the better Mexican slashers out there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's just it, like I said, it's 76 minutes, so it kind of just breezes through all this shit, and it's fucking dope. Like there's literally not a dull moment in this movie. Yeah, from the first frame, it's you know, these fools competing against each other. Then they just go fucking hunting. Then fools are dying, and then it's a fucking shootout with explosions and fucking, and then it just ends. Like it's just
there's
fucking
a war kind of, you know, going on.
Yeah. A war inside Jesse's head.
He never left. He never left the war zone. But yeah, so it's awesome, and you got to see it on the big screen again. Frida Cinema, October 27th. Get that ticket. Don't go hunting bears. Go to Santa Ana.
Yeah, I think hopefully people show up to this, because this is a fucking it's a fucking banger. Mm-hmm. Like you guys said, no one's really screening, and if they have, who knows where they screened it? Somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's worth the while. It's worth the admission. It's fucking. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's fucking. It's not something generic, right? You know, it's not the same movies that are playing all over the place. You know, it's fucking. It's something new, something fresh. It's probably something that most people haven't really watched. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Vinegar Syndrome fans have watched it, or maybe they haven't. You know, cracked it open on their thing yet. But, I mean,
seeing it on a big screen is gonna be an experience. I'm gonna be
stoked. Especially the Frida screen. That's a big screen. So
I'm gonna be stoked seeing that. I mean, I've seen it at Fantastic Fest in 2019. It was the old restoration, obviously, but. So seeing it somewhere closer now, in restoration, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Please buy a ticket. I already told y'all, don't go hunting bears that weekend. I don't give a fuck what you're thinking. Don't fight with your friends over something now. Just go buy a ticket. October 27th.
Bring your friends.
Bring your friends.
Yeah.
And then, Mike, what else do you have planned? Obviously, you're more busy than me, so what else are you screening?
Oh, God.
Are you going to be at the Frida again before, right?
I will be at the Frida again in Jeez, I believe, what, the day after?
The day after. Yeah, there we go. I was like, it's either the day before or the day after. I know he was going to be doing that, yeah.
I'll go really quick on stuff. So, like, I run this thing called See It on 16mm and basically travel around to theaters showing stuff on film, to theaters that don't have film projection. So I mainly try to do everything outside of L.A. because L.A., you can throw a rock and hit two theaters probably. Of stuff that's playing on film. So like Art Theater Long Beach on the 1st of October, mm-hmm. Texas Chainsaw, and then actually taking Night of the Living Dead on tour for the month of October.
You're going to be close by to me this time.
Yeah, I'll be twice. I'll be in San Dimas.
At
Burning Bridge Brewery. Yeah,
I'll be there. I'll be at the Riverside one probably too.
Yes, Back to the Grind in Riverside with Francisco. We'll be doing Night of the Living Dead, Balboa Theater in San Francisco, bunch of stuff like that.
October.
Yeah, that's just for that. Like I'm gonna be doing Exorcist at Gardena again. We got the Trash Mech screening, and then I'll be at PRS for two nights, doing the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari on 16 with the live band. And then also with Justin Humphrey, we are doing White Zombie on 16 with Lugosi's granddaughter. So that should be fun. And pretty much that's it. Staying busy through October. Mm-hmm. And then, after the new year, not really touring too much. But starting to fill up November, December. And it's been fun. Anytime I can thread up film and show stuff to an audience, I'm always happy. Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you showing this one on 16mm?
Because it doesn't exist.
Before somebody asks. Yeah. Thank you, Joey, for bringing that up.
Thank you. It was like, well,
someone's going to ask. Might as well be me, right?
Yeah, this is Mike's getaway from 16.
Yeah, no, this was like, we've been doing this, man, for, over two years now. You know, and
we've been showing all the Mexican slashers. This is going to be the latest edition.
Yeah, when we started 2 years ago during, what did we do, the first one?
Grave Robbers.
Grave Robbers,
it
yeah.
was, that's why, that's right, that with the exhibit and everything. And then hopefully we get another chance to do, we had that Trash Mix Festival last year. And
People have been asking about that. Yeah. So I kinda, that's a must. Yeah, I hinted that during an Instagram post.
And okay.
Shit. Let's see what people think and what they want. And they all voted yes. One person put, I don't know. But they're from around here. They're like from Mexico.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know.
He didn't know what you were saying is what it was.
This point,
he's
yeah.
like, I don't know. I was like, who is this? I was like, oh, he's not even from around here.
Oh, okay.
But nobody voted no, so yeah.
It would be nice to be able to do another, 3 days at the Frida Cinema?
At the Frida. Frida's been
three doubles.
That's where we started, so it's only appropriate to bring the slasher here this time around.
So bug the people at the Frida, specifically Trevor. Yeah. Tell Trevor you want Trash Mex Festival Part 2 next year and make it happen.
And once again, buy your ticket for October 27th.
Can't stress it enough, yo.
Can't stress this enough because y'all be like, when is it again?
Yeah. Are we gonna do any giveaways? Or anything
Yeah. So thank you for reminding me. Yeah, so I'm going to get with Vinegar directly. They're going to give me some copies of stuff to give away. Who knows? And I'm going to hopefully bug them for yo-yos.
Did you get one of the yo-yos?
So they sent me a box a while back with stuff, and I had a yo-yo, and I was like, let me try this yo-yo. I haven't played with a yo-yo in a while. It has Vinegar Syndrome on it, it's just their logo and so forth. I was like, yeah, this is fun.
Did you walk the dog?
Yeah, actually I did. So I'm going to tell them, like, hey, so, like, can you send me the stuff for the giveaway? Can you send some yo-yos, too?
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll send some. But, yeah, there'll be some stuff to give away. So come through. You never know what you might get. And, and then, like, every Trash Mix screening, there'll be some trailers beforehand. I already have them picked out and everything.
People love those trailers. Yeah. Like, I seriously, at some point, we need to just do a trailer show.
I know.
Like, I think people would eat that.
And I always like doing it before the movie because it's like, it's an experience, I don't want it to be like, hey, guys, thanks for coming, and then play the movie, and then, like, oh, okay, cool.
But, well, it gets people amped up. You watch that shit, and you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Get you familiar with this stuff,
So can I guess one of the trailers? You're probably AR-15 to get people.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it, but we'll see. We'll talk about that. We'll see. I'll surprise you all.
He's gonna one up you. It's not the trailer. He's gonna show the fucking movie.
Like, hey guys, we're not playing Hell's Trap. No, I'm just joking. No, but there'll be some cool trailers for sure, and then. You know, I'm going to throw in a Pedro Fernandez music video, too, to get you guys pumped up for him. I already have that plan set up as well. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome experience, guys. Again, 7:30, free to cinema.
October 27th.
Get those tickets, freetocinema.org. Or,
like, what else are you going to be doing on a Sunday? Like,
I already told you, don't be hunting bears that day. You're not going to go hunting bears that day.
Go watch this movie on the big screen with the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like, you will enjoy the experience. Like, it's a lot different, especially, like, with these horror movies and the slashers. It's just, like, watching them with the crowd and the reactions to the kills and everything. It's just...
I'm excited for this. I'm going to just, like... be stoked watching this with
is the ticket link already live?
It's live already.
Oh, okay, so fools are fucking up.
Guys. It's
buy
up.
The tickets already.
Buy the tickets. I think that's what we're going to call this episode. Buy the tickets.
Episode 3, buy the tickets.
October 27th.
Hell's Trap, buy tickets now.
Yeah.
But it's going to be awesome, guys. So this episode was obviously dedicated to Hell's Trap, promoting our screening. Again, we had Mike here. And anything else y'all want to add in?
Well, I mean, we didn't really go into any detail really about this film, we don't want to spoil it.
Specifically since we're doing the screening for it. So.
So as we've been saying, man, buy a fucking ticket.
Buy a ticket.
It's the movie's fucking sick. It's a breeze. You're gonna have a good time. It's right before Halloween.
Bring your wife,
a great slasher.
Bring your girlfriend. Bring your secret girlfriend. bring that married man that you're dating.
Damn.
Nah, I'm just joking. But look, overall, bring whoever you want. You guys are going to love this movie.
Bring your Jaina, bring your Torta, bring your Kuka, everybody.
I'm telling y'all, bring whoever. You're going to love this movie.
And thank you, Trevor, at the Frida for allowing us to do this. Too.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the Frida Cinema, Trevor Dillon, Vinegar Syndrome, ACFA. They've been supportive.
Is ACFA are you guys buying the rights through ACFA, or who holds the?
I think Vinegar gives the rights, the theatrical to ACFA.
To ACFA,
the theatrical rights. Yeah, ACFA gives the theatrical rights. Yeah.
Also, it's gonna be a sick ass DCP then.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah. Thank you, Trevor, for allowing this shit to play on the screen there.
And truly. What's going to be next, Joey, for the podcast?
Well, we have a couple episodes lined up. We have a couple more guests coming up. And I haven't really solidified what episode 4 is. But obviously, at the end of this show, you'll get the trailer of what it's going to be. But like I said, we teased the Lucha episode. It's coming. Mm-hmm. We have a very special episode about the music from all these Mexican movies.
The library music.
Yeah, all the library music. So we have quite a few things in store. Keep tuning in. Please subscribe, rate, review, leave comments, tell your tias, tell your moms, tell your primas.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, subscribe, rate our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, and, spread the word.
Yeah.
And thank you to everybody that has so far. So far, it's been a good reception. I have had no negative feedback or anything. Everyone's been like, yeah, keep doing it. I want to hear more.
And lastly, thank you, Hope, for offering up the Fold Line Poster Company in Long Beach building for us to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been very grateful and nice. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And still running the promo. Episode, you got to listen to the full episode because you're going to get a promo.
You're going to get a promo for your linen backing, or who knows what else you could do with your posters.
Restoring.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned.
She does great work.
Hear her promotion. And, yeah.
And, so people can find you, Mike, what's your Instagram? For the people that don't know.
On Instagram, you can find all my tours and everything on See It on 16mm. And then I mainly post all my stuff on there. And I do nowadays also like working with other people to do live shows and stuff. Like we just did Kansas City Bomber with the Fold Line Poster Company and Pigeon Skate Shop in Long Beach. Trying to do more things like that where it's just more community based and stuff. I'm getting tired from touring all the time. So a lot more just one-off shows. So See It on 16mm on Instagram. Make sure to add me, follow me, follow all my stuff.
I'm Cheddar Brown.
What about you guys?
I'm Cheddar Brown, and
I'm Trash Mix on Instagram. You know where to look for me, trashmix.com.
Yeah, if you're not following Trash Mix, how'd you even hear about this podcast?
you know, some people are like, you have an Instagram? You have a podcast?
Hey, wait, in his face, wait.
There is a Facebook. Hey, there is a Facebook page. Yeah, there is a Facebook page.
What's your WhatsApp?
There is a Facebook. Yeah, there's a Facebook. I'm everywhere. Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So yeah, find me wherever online. Just, you know, search me on there, Trash Mix. Keep up to date with whatever I post on there, whether it's screenings, reviews, or podcast-wise. And of course, I always share, you know, my material, like my posters and so forth. So yeah, keep up to date there. And anything else, Joey?
Nah, man, we'll cut it short. Hopefully, we'll see you guys at the screening. And if not, you fucked up because this is a banger.
What day is it again? October 27th.
It's on Sunday, right?
Sunday, October 27th.
We're at
the Frida Cinema.
Oh, okay.
The ticket link is live.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll have you back. And of course, you know, future episodes, we'll have other people talking with us as well. And if you have any suggestions, hit us up on the email. What's the email again, Joey?
Trashmaxpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, hit us up there or on Instagram. And yeah, I think we're ready to go hunt some bears now.
Let's do it. Bear claw and all, baby.
Yeah. See you guys.
All right.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening.
Próximamente estrenaremos.
God, with his lack of knowledge, does not understand this truth and opposes it with false thoughts and prayers. God, silence!
Satan, 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 our Lord and Master, I acknowledge thee as my God and Prince. I promise to serve and obey thee as long as I shall live. I renounce the other God and all the saints.
Don't listen to them! Don't listen to them!
Our Lord and Master, I acknowledge.
Go out of the room! Sister Mary, take the children out of the room! Go! Go!
As long as I shall live! Satan! I promise thee that I will do as much evil as I can. I will draw everyone else to evil. I won't fail to serve and adore thee. I give thee my life and my soul. Satan,
go and get Mother Superior, quickly! What's wrong with you, girl? Alucarda! Alucarda, freeze my child! Alucarda!
Listen to me, Alucarda! God help us, please! Just leave! Just leave, please!
Oh, stop it! Stop it at once! Alucarda, my child!
This episode of Trash Mix is brought to you by the Foldline Poster Company. The Foldline Poster Company is dedicated to the restoration and preservation of vintage posters and various collectible works on paper. From lobby cards and one sheets to Italian folios and French grands, the Foldline is your number one source for preservation in Southern California. Visit us in Long Beach or check us out at fold-lines.com for your next linen backing service. Be sure to mention Hellstrap for 10% off your next linen backing service and submit any horror genre material by October 12th for a special Halloween discount.